My name is Jason Schaffern, and I'm going to present a paper I co-authored with John Fontanesi called Capacity of Primary Care Providers to Meet New Vaccination Recommendations, Operational Constraints. And you pretty much couldn't get a more exciting title than that, so let's just get right into it. Primary care capacity has been an issue in recent years and in the future. Some things I'd just like to bring up in the introduction is the new influenza vaccination recommendations. All children 0 to 18 now are supposed to be vaccinated. And while it's a great idea, that's going to cause a lot of time for primary care providers. I mean, it'll take a lot of their time. The census says there's 88 million children in the United States right now, and if it takes 2 minutes to vaccinate every children, and that's a pretty efficient vaccination, that's 2.9 million man hours. That's a lot of time. There's a paper by Yarno, which says that if all the preventive care recommendations were followed, it would take 2.2 hours per day just to do those and no other services, no other acute care or advising or anything like that. There's a quote by the American College of Physicians, which says, primary care, the backbone of the nation's healthcare system, is at grave risk of collapse. Some papers by Humiston and Fontanesi, they said that primary care providers, to paraphrase, are very much in favor of vaccination. You know, this is one of their core missions. They're very much in support, but there's a few problems. They worry about their impact on their practice. Is it financially viable? Is it taking up too much of their time? Are they able to deal with the problems that child has that day? And finally, there's a new vaccination distribution system. And that's what I'm going to talk about in this presentation. Circles. So now you know. Can everyone hear me? Microphone? Okay. So the research question here is, how does the new centralized vaccination system affect primary care's ability to vaccinate children? Okay. Under the old system, this is a simplification, but there'd be the bottom circle is a bunch of providers, and they would place orders with the grantee. The grantee purchases the vaccines from all the manufacturers, and they either send them to the providers or a local distributor. The local distributor, the hospitals could get their supply from there. So if there was they could get a quicker turnaround. And also if they, in case of emergency, if they ran out of vaccine, they could just borrow from another clinic. After the VMBIP, which is the Vaccine Management Business Improvement Project, so this is the new vaccination system, what they wanted to do is pretty much cut out this local distributor, centralize the warehousing and ordering. So now there's no local distributors. The providers still place orders with the grantees, and there's a federal, McKesson is a company, a federal third party who gets the vaccines from the manufacturers and sends them directly to the clinics and hospitals and physicians' offices. So the second vertical column is going to work out well if this curvy black line is efficient. So if that comes quickly, we've cut out a lot of red tape, it's going to work out well. If this curvy black line sending the vaccines from the centralized location to the providers, if that takes a long time, that's going to cause a lot of problems. Okay, and this is just a summary of some of the changes. A lot more of the management has been shifted to the federal level rather than the grantee, and there's been some new software. This is right off the CDC's website, I believe. So those are just some of the changes that are going to be occurring. So the nationwide rollout is set to begin right now. I picked a couple states. Michigan's going to actually implement it probably in May, and Massachusetts in June. So obviously there's not one set date, but this spring it's coming along. How are we going to analyze this program if it hasn't happened yet? Well, there have been some pilot programs using the centralized system. California is one of them, and that's where I'm from. I'm from University of California, San Diego. So we're going to look at providers' experiences in Southern California with this new system and see how they've worked out. Is it working so far? So how are we going to tell if it's working? Well, we want to take a patient's point of view. When the patient comes to the doctor's office or to the hospital, are they able to get the vaccines they need? Well, there's a lot of things that go into that. Are the people coming? Is there missed opportunities? But the only thing we're looking at this study is if they come to the provider, do they have vaccines? Obviously, you can't get vaccinated if there's no vaccines on hand. So we're going to calculate the probability that if someone comes into the office on a given day that they have no vaccines. Okay? So a few things can happen when someone comes into the office. They can have vaccines and possibly get vaccinated, or they can not have vaccines, and a few things could happen. If they don't have vaccines, you can never return, or return in a year, or 2 years, or 3 years. So you're not vaccinated for that year. Or you could return, and that's kind of and get vaccinated. So that's the kind of the middle area. So if you return for the visit, some people return, you can get vaccinated. And if you do get vaccinated, the only cost is that you had to make 2 trips. You had to take off of work twice. You had to take the bus, drive, whatever, to the office twice. It's possible you could return, and the second time they won't get vaccinated, or they won't have the vaccine. So that's also a problem. But the main costs are really, if there's no vaccine, you're not going to be vaccinated. It's impossible. So we're going to do this with data we have from some California providers from about 3 years before the VMBIP was instituted in California, which was, again, February, March 2007. And then about 4 to 6 months after, we have data on how long the ordering took. And so we know how many vaccines they use per day on average and a general range of how much they used. And we can fit this mean and the variance of what we calculated for their average daily vaccination rates to some distribution. And I end up using a negative binomial because it's right skewed and a normal distribution for other ones. So we have how much they use per day. And then we need to know how long does it take once they order the vaccine to arrive. You know, those are the things that will impact whether or not there's vaccine. If you use a lot of vaccine, you're more likely to run out. If it takes a long time to get there when you order it, it's more likely that the provider will run out of vaccines. And then we can calculate what the probability is that they'll run out of vaccine before the shipment arrives, and then later we'll calculate what the probability is if someone shows up on a given day that there's no vaccine. Okay. So what's the chance that there's no vaccine available? And here are the order delay times from the clinic in Southern California that we have data from. We also have a lot of anecdotal evidence. With the decentralized system, it took about 1 to 2 days. These are weekdays. So if it got shipped on Friday, got there on Monday, that's 1 day. So it's about 1 to 2 days. The most it took was 9 days, which is about 2 weeks, again, weekdays. In the new system, in those 4 to 6 months, it's taken 14 days on average, 13, 14 days. And the most was 21 days, which is almost a month, because it's, again, weekdays. So this is a significant increase, okay? You place an order in the old system, you try to get the vaccines. Whenever you want the vaccines, it took a day or two, sometimes a week, but that was usually 1 or 2 days. The new system, so far, in this pilot programs, it's taken 13 or 14 days. Okay, so now how does that impact the chance that there's vaccines available? Well, obviously, if I have 1 million vaccines, even if it takes a really long time, I'm probably not going to run out. If I have 10 vaccines and I place an order, there's a good chance I'll run out. So we need to look at the average level of inventory each provider has when they make this order. So let's look at some examples. Let's say there's 100. The blue line represents the probability the provider will run out of vaccine for at least 1 day before the vaccine arrives. So let's say they have 100 vaccines in inventory. So this is for hepatitis B. In the old system, which is the blue line, there's about 1 or 2% chance that they would run out, that the vaccine wouldn't get there in time. But in the new system, it was about a 50% chance. What if they only have 50 vaccines in inventory? So they didn't plan ahead as well, or they have less vaccines on hand. Well, before there was about a little less than 10% chance they would run out before the new vaccines came. In the new system, it's over 60%. Okay. We can look at measles, mumps, and rubella as well. We have, again, if we just look at 100, it was a very low number, less than 1%, about 1%. In the old system, that you would run out of vaccines for at least 1 day before the new vaccines arrived. In the new centralized system, it's about 50%. Okay. So now I want to calculate, okay, we don't care about what's the chance you run out. We want to know from the patient's point of view, if they come into the office, what's the chance that there's no vaccine available, okay? So this is actually for measles, mumps, and rubella. On average, the clinic we looked at had 127 vaccines in reserve when they placed their order, okay? So we can simulate the amount of vaccines used per day, because we have that information. And so we can see how many vaccines are left. So let's say it takes 5 days for the vaccines to come. Okay, well, if it takes 5 days in this example, they still have 74 left, no big deal. They don't run out of vaccines. They're not going to run out of vaccines in this case. If it takes 15 days, There's 3 days where they have zero vaccine, okay? And then all the days 16 and more, they'll get the new vaccines that'll be replenished. So we see that 3 out of the 22 days, there's no vaccine. So in this is just an example, but it would be 14%, 13, 14% of the time they would run out. They would have no vaccine available on that day, okay? So using the measles, mumps, rubella numbers, we see that in the old system, they had 127 vaccines in reserve, usually, when they placed their order. And there was, in our simulation, we have, it's about a 1 in 1,000 chance that they're going to run out, okay? Because they know how to manage their inventory. You could get a vaccine in a day or two. There's very little chance you're going to run out. In the new system, it's about a 10% chance that they won't have vaccine that day, okay? Why is that? Well, it takes, again, 14 weekdays for it to arrive. And if they're having the same amount of reserve when they're ordering, it's more likely that there won't be vaccine available, okay? So from a previous study, we see that people who don't get vaccinated, about 85% will return and, you know, try to get vaccinated again. So from a study I did with John Fazzonesi as well, we calculated the cost of time and travel to get vaccinated. So you have an extra bus trip, you have to take off of work, the provider has to pay for nurses to administer it or medical assistance. And so that was calculated to be about $30 for the time and travel aspect of that and just the vaccination part. And then for someone not getting vaccinated, the cost of that, we ended up using an average. This is from Feng Zhu Zhao's paper. We used an average benefit of vaccination, which might not be the total accurate number, but the lowest number is if you don't get vaccinated this year and you delay for a year, so you have a 1 year delay, what's the cost of not getting vaccinated for a year? And the highest number is, what if you didn't get vaccinated here and then you never get vaccinated, which is possible. If you get vaccinated for some disease, every two-year-old does, and you never go back to the doctor until 4 or 5, it's possible they won't notice it for a long time. But again, it's a range of values. Again, my training is in economics, so it's mandatory that I put up a slide with lots of numbers that confuses you, so hopefully the slide has done the trick. So let's get down and focus on a few of them. The probability that someone comes in and there's vaccine available, again, is 90%. So again, this is not missed opportunities. This is not people coming in or not coming in to get vaccinated. There's people who come in to get vaccinated and there's none available. So 90% it's available. For 8% of people, it's not available, but they come back and get vaccinated. The last two rows are the people who don't get vaccinated. So they don't return because the first time, or they do return and then there's no vaccine available the second time. So about 2.5% of people aren't getting vaccinated if we extended this, the data we have, because of the slower distribution. If we look in terms of cost per child, this is the average cost. This is not the cost of people who aren't getting vaccinated. It's the average cost to any child who walks in the door of the new distribution system. And we see if all kids who aren't vaccinated just end up getting vaccinated the next year, it's about $6. If they would never get vaccinated, it's $70. Okay. And this is just for measles, mumps, and rubella. We're going to do similar analysis for most of the vaccines. But right now we've only done for measles, mumps, and rubella, but very similar findings for other ones. If we look at the cost, if we just multiply this out for other, among the number of children who could get vaccinated, then we see that this number is about 24 million in terms of the cost of these people not getting vaccinated and making extra trips to and from the doctor's office and missing work to take off to get vaccinated. So you maybe have some concerns about the data or the methodology. One thing obviously we need is more data. We just have the California pilot program. We're going to continue to collect more data in order to see, you know, how does this, is this trend going to persist, or is this just an initial startup problem? I think it's still important to identify that there are problems, but, you know, these problems could have been fixed, could be fixed in the future. We need to investigate whether or not that's the case. Another thing is ordering behavior. If it takes longer to get the vaccines, why not just order a bigger amount or order more frequently? But for the VIMBIP program, that's kind of been not prohibited, but kind of against. Every provider is supposed to is given an amount they're supposed to order and how frequently, and if you order a lot more or more frequently, then kind of a red flag goes up. So the new program kind of limits flexibility a lot. Why was the program instituted originally? Well, the logistical costs were supposed to be a big cost savings. There's a centralized warehouse instead of lots of little small warehouses. And that hasn't been put into this calculation. That's been done probably elsewhere. But what also is in this calculations is that it's harder for providers to manage their inventory. So if I'm a provider and I see, ooh, I'm running low on vaccines, if it takes a day or two, it's not really a big deal. If I know it takes 2 weeks, if I'm a big clinic, I probably need someone to dedicate at least a few hours to planning this inventory of vaccines. If I'm a small clinic, it's going to be hard to, you know, pull someone to plan this from other duties for caring for children or other things or other people. So again, both those costs aren't included, so I can't weigh in on those. Also, you might say, well, everyone's vaccinated, so it doesn't really matter if people don't get vaccinated. Again, I'm from San Diego. Last month, we had a measles outbreak. About 12 kids were hospitalized, and I don't want. This is not due to the delays. This is because some of the students, at the school, one of them went to Switzerland, and got. I think if he went to the main opening talk, they decided for ideological reasons not to be vaccinated. But it does show that there is disease out there, and that we need people to be vaccinated. So if the people who actually want to be vaccinated, if it's not there, that could cause a problem. So that's my results so far. I thank you for your time.